Sam Adams limped only slightly, and he no longer used a cane as he came around his desk to greet Penrod warmly. He looked fit and suntanned, although there were a few grey hairs in his moustache. "Congratulations on the Colonel's pips, sir," Penrod saluted. Adams was without a cap, so he could not return the salute, but he seized Penrod's hand and shook it warmly. "Delighted to have you back, Ballantyne. Much has happened while you've been away. There's a great deal we must talk about. Shall we go for lunch at the club?" He had reserved a table in the corner of the dining room at the Jezira Club. He ordered a bottle of Krug, then waited until the glasses were filled, and they had placed their order with the waiter in red fez and white jalabia before he got down to business. After the disaster of Khartoum and the murder of that idiot Gordon, there were many unpleasant repercussions. The press at home were looking for scapegoats and fastened on Sir Charles Wilson's delay in pressing on to the relief of Gordon after the victory at Abu Klea. Wilson sought to defend himself by placing the blame on his subordinates. Unfortunately, you were one of those to suffer, Ballantyne. He has brought charges of subordination and desertion against you. Now that you have come back from limbo, you will almost certainly be court-martialed. Capital offence, if you're found guilty. Firing squad, don't you know? Penrod blanched under his suntan and stared at Adams in horror. He went on hurriedly. You have friends here. Everyone knows your worth. Victoria Cross, Daring Do, Heroic Escapes and all that. However, you will have to resign your commission in the Hussars. Resign my commission? Penrod exclaimed. I'll let them shoot me first. Well, it might come to that. But hear me out. Adams reached across the table and laid his hand on Penrod's arm to prevent him leaping to his feet. Drink your champagne and listen to me. Damn fine vintage, by the way. Don't waste it. Penrod subsided, and Adams went on. First, I must give you some other background information. Egypt now belongs to us in all but name. Baring calls it the Veiled Protectorate, but it's a bloody colony for all the pretty words. The decision's been taken by London to rebuild the Egyptian army from a disorganised rabble into a first-rate fighting corps. The new Sirdar is Horatio Herbert Kitchener. Do you know him?
I cannot say that I do, Penrod said. The Sirdar was the commander-in-chief of the Egyptian army.
Cross between a tiger and a dragon. Absolute bloody fire-eater. He desperately needs first-class officers for the new army, men who know the desert and the lingo. I mentioned your name. He knows of you. He wants you. If you join him, he'll quash all Wilson's charges against you. Kitchener's going up the ladder to the top and will take his people with him. You will start at your equivalent rank of captain, but I can almost guarantee you a battalion within a year, your own regiment within five. For you, the choice is between ruin and high rank. What do you say?
Penrod smoothed his whiskers thoughtfully. On board ship, Amber had trimmed his sideburns and moustache for him, and once again they were luxuriant. He had learned never to jump at the first offer.
Camel Corps, Adams tossed in another plum. Plenty of desert fighting.
When can I meet the gentleman?
Tomorrow, 900 hours sharp at the new army headquarters. If you love life, don't be late.